This is Friday. We're into October, and we are praying for you as you go into the eighth week of school. Can you believe it? We are at midterm. And so I'm going to start us with prayer this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence here today. Thank you, Lord, that your word and your name, Emmanuel, God with us, is such an encouragement, Lord. Your name, your person, is the one we hope in. Lord, we thank you that you are Jesus, Messiah. Lord God, as each student is facing the different challenges in the courses, I pray, oh God, that you'll give them a mind of order. Lord, order their time, order their efforts, so that they will come across the finish line doing very well academically, and also, Lord, with your spirit within as we look to you this day. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read a chorus. We're going to be learning it next Wednesday, probably, but just to kind of focus our mind in on the Word of God. This is through song. Jesus Messiah, name above all names. When you can't pray anything else, you can say that one name. You can say that one word. And believe me, I've done it. Thank you for turning your attention this way, please. Thank you. Sometimes the Lord allows very difficult things in your life for you to know what's in you already. In my life, I went through 14 years of taking care of my husband 24/7. He suffered a brain aneurysm hemorrhage. That's a brain blowout. Those things are categorized like hurricanes and tornadoes. And the highest number of a subarachnoid hemorrhage is a number 4, and that's what my husband had. But God preserved life. And I learned in those very, very difficult times when life decisions had to be made that some of my most eloquent prayers were one in two words. Jesus, because he knew I was calling out for help. And then one time, I'll never forget, just standing back and just saying, Daddy, help. I didn't say it that fast. My lips were trembling. So as you go into the next week, be encouraged. Jesus is with you. Jesus will help you. And as we look to next week, some of you might need to look at your schedules and decide, am I doing too much? Maybe if I dropped one course, I could spend more time on the others. So we have a deadline next Friday for anybody who wants to withdraw. And if y'all need to come see me, my office is open for all next week to talk to you about your best path forward. This doesn't affect everybody, but it does affect a few of you. Thank you very much.
All right, good morning, y'all. It's a beautiful Friday morning, end of the week. Woohoo! We can be glad about that. Okay, so if y'all will jog your memory and try really, really hard to think back to assembly on Wednesday, we had a lesson over one of our character qualities for the month. Can y'all remember what the character quality was? There we go. Thank you. That was very dependable of you. Thank you, Matt, again for giving us that lesson. If I can just kind of jog your memory again, we kind of concluded that dependability is basically like doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And then another way of looking at it is basically fulfilling what I consented to do, even if it means unexpected sacrifice. So even if I have to, you know, sacrifice, if I said I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. That's another way to look at dependability. But you know, this dependability might be kind of a vague thing to imagine. What do you do when you're dependable? Well, I think that our next character quality really sums up what you do when you're dependable, and that is responsibility. And I'm going to have Dr. Joe Jones come up and speak about responsibility. He's one of our character coaches for the character program, and so he's really one of the big proponents of, you know, getting this kind of this education and this emphasis into our curriculum and our work learning program. But responsibility is knowing and doing what is expected of me. So when you're a dependable person, you do what's right because it's the right thing to do. And when you're dependable, that means you're responsible, because not only do you know what you need to do, but you also do that thing that is expected of you. So without further ado, I'll have Dr. Jones come up.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you.
Is it all right if I say a quick prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Father, I just thank you so much for this beautiful Friday morning. I pray that you would just focus our hearts and our minds today on what you have to teach us, because every word from your lips, Father, from your Bible, just can speak life into us and therefore shine a light into this dark world. Even when tragedies happen and all these crises are going on in the world, Father, we have the opportunity to be the light. And so, Father, I just pray that in your word today, through assembly and our classes and just our experiences in life, Father, I pray that you would just teach us and help us to become more like you, more like your son, Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Katie. I really appreciate this character core. I am so glad that Katie is leading that. And I hope that we will, you know, take to heart some of the things that of these character traits and apply them in our life. Because after all, when the day is done, we have to look in the mirror and see ourselves and say, am I the kind of person that I want to be? And I think this is going to definitely help us to be exactly that. I also, since this is the very first time I've had an opportunity to be before the student body, I just want to tell you what a privilege it is to be one of the teachers, one of the professors here. And it's a great joy when Dr. Bob asked me to, if I would like to teach. And it's something I like to do, teach anyway, but it really took on a new meaning when I got here. And after teaching for a few years now, I've retired from pastoring, and this has become my full-time job pretty much. So I enjoy being with you all. I like my classes to not to be such a chore, but to be a joy to be in. I hope that's the way you feel about it, because that's the way I do. My task this morning is to talk about responsibility, and as Katie said, the definition for that in character core is knowing and doing what is expected from me. I thought that was kind of an odd definition of that. I thought of some synonyms like duty. You know, John will take responsibility over the new accounts, or maybe a charge. Carol is responsible for the new recruits, or maybe a obligation, a moral obligation, in that students have the responsibility to behave themselves, or whatever. But knowing and doing what is expected from me. And I see three parts to this definition. One is knowledge. Knowledge. There is a knowing what you are supposed to do. Example would be is if you play first base in baseball, you've got to know how to do that job. It's not just a matter of showing up on the bag and saying, okay, I know how to do this. You know, there is some things that if things happen, you respond in this way. Or a job that you might have, you want to know exactly how it is you're supposed to do this job in order to be responsible. So responsibility, you see, requires knowledge from us. What is my job? How do I perform this job? What are the requirements? What is expected of me in this job? But you know, that's not just enough just to have knowledge. You see, to be responsible, we must also have action, knowing and doing. And action is what doing what you know you're supposed to do. Let's go back to our first baseman. Let's say that it's at the bottom of the second, and the team goes out on the field, but the first baseman is walking up to the bullpen. He's got a hot dog and a Coke instead of hustling on the field. And so, you know, the coach is not going to be really happy about that, right? I mean, it's not going to fly real well because he has not been responsible. He's supposed to be out there on the bag, but no, he's got a hot dog and a Coke. So the coach is going to ask why. Well, the coach is going to not be this nice about it, but the coach will ask, why are you not out there on first base? And you say something like, look, I know what I'm doing. I know how to play first base. That's not going to be enough. That is not going to make the coach happy, right? He expects not only that you know how to play it, but that you're out there on the bag playing first base. Responsibility requires knowledge, but it also requires action. And finally, it requires a right attitude. In other words, knowing and doing what is expected of me, the right attitude. So you may have low expectations in your life. You may have a medium expectation, or you might have high expectations. Let's go back to our beloved first baseman again. He could say, well, coach, don't expect a whole lot from me today. I would just love to hear that and hear the coach's answer to that. Yeah, you know, don't expect a whole lot from me today. Yeah, right. That's going to really fly. But did you know at Ecclesia College that we do expect you to be the best athlete that you're supposed to be, that you can be? We expect you to be the best student. We have high expectations for you. You're the best worker, and to display high moral standards. And we expect that from faculty and staff and students, every one of us. Because that's the expectation that we want, a high expectation of what we're to do when you come to this college. But the question is, do you have high expectations for yourself? Do you have high expectations for yourself? You might say, well, I'm high at one area, but I'm kind of not expecting a whole lot from myself in another area of school or anything. Well, that's not good enough. That's not good enough to say I have a high expectation here, but then I have a low expectation over here. You see, what's good enough is to say I am going to be the best student that I can be. I am going to be the best athlete that I can be. I am going to be the best worker in whatever I'm supposed to do that I could be. And that is responsibility. That is responsibility. Well, what motivates us? What motivates us to be responsible? I kind of gave that a little bit of thought and came up with a few things. One is the expectation of those we respect. You know, sometimes we want to be responsible simply because we don't want to let anybody down. We don't want to let our coach down. We don't want to let our parents down. We don't want to let our team down or our friends down. We don't want to let people down that we respect. Does anybody remember what happened in June 6, 1944? It's the Normandy invasion. That means a whole bunch of soldiers got out of a nice, big, comfortable boat into a real small boat, and it was just going, and they were heading towards beaches, artillery shells going up all around them. Sometimes it would blow a boat up next to them. And then finally, if they were lucky enough to get to the beach itself, then that ramp went down, and then they faced a solid sheet of machine gun fire and more artilleries, not to mention things that they couldn't see that would explode if they stepped on them just right. And I often ask myself the question, what would cause soldiers, what would cause a rational thinking human being to get out of the big boat to go and face that? Or for somebody to step on a grenade or to fall on a grenade and let it explode and sacrifice themselves in order that others might live around them. And I heard this said once before, and I think this is a good reason, is that soldiers will fight for their country, but they'll die for their friends. They'll die for their brothers. You see, a soldier depends on each other. They count on each other. And they are responsible for each other. And what motivates those soldiers to get out of that boat or to drop on that grenade or to save their friends at the risk of their own life is the fact that they don't want to let them down. I think another reason that motivates us for responsibility is when we take pride in ourselves. And I don't mean the pride that says that I'm better than others, but the pride that says I want to be a better person. To take pride in doing a job well, to do the best that I can, to be the best person that I can possibly be. And sometimes it's a matter of not so much that somebody is going to see me and see what I do, or maybe they even care what it is that I do, but the fact is that I know. And I want to walk away saying I did the best I could do, even if nobody sees it, because I will know. And then I think there's a third reason that motivates us, probably more than any of those other two, and it's a higher purpose that we have in our lives. You see, when we see ourselves as something important, that we are an important part of an organization, that is to say that we understand that we have an important function and that it's bigger than ourselves. Let me give you an example of two types of ships. One is a cruise ship. Now, a cruise ship has two types of people on it. It has the crew and it has passengers. And the crew does all the work. They have the most concern about the ship itself, about in the engineering section, making sure that the lights are on and the engine is running and that things are going well. The navigational section of that crew makes sure that they get to the destination that they're supposed to be. Every person on that crew has a specific job, some of them just to keep it from becoming a permanent submarine. You know, keeping that thing afloat. What do the passengers do? Well, they could care less about the ship. The function of the ship. They've paid to go there, have a good time, joy, and so the ship serves them. The crew serves them, and that's all that they really care about. The crew sees themselves as part of the ship. The passengers see themselves as being served by the ship. Let me take another kind of ship, a warship. A warship. You see, that's a whole different type of ship. It has one type of people in it. It's called the crew. Everyone from the officers to the lowest seaman on that kind of ship is part of the ship. It's part of the ship. Each person has a job to do, and they must do that job or their shipmates will die, possibly. And we've seen that in the last couple of incidences that we've had where a couple of ships collided with another ship and people have died. How does that possibly happen with all of the electronics, with all the radar and everything that we've got? How does that possibly happen? And I've been on a ship before and I'm wondering myself, how does that happen? Well, somebody thought their job was important enough. There weren't lookouts that were watching for those others. The radarman wasn't there. I took a cruise one time down a river. And I thought I'd go up into the bridge and see what was going on up there and talk to somebody. I went up there, there wasn't anybody there. The ship was totally automatic. It was just going down the river, this Columbia River, just total automatic. And I'm wondering, well, what if something went wrong? You know, I was a little bit concerned about that. But the thing is that I guess it wasn't important for somebody to actually be on the bridge of that ship. The thing is that we need to see ourselves. The point is, we need to see ourselves as like a crew on a cruise on a warship. That my job, no matter how small it is on that ship, is important to keep that thing afloat. If you're in a battle, you've got people that are putting fires out. You've got people who are shooting back at who's shooting at you. You've got people that are keeping that warship afloat. Because if it goes down in the stern, the person at the bow says, "Not my problem." It is. The thing goes down, you don't have a home. And so everybody's depending on you to do your job. It's a higher purpose, a higher calling there. Daniel Webster once said, "What is the most important thought you ever entertained?" And he said this after a moment's reflection, the most important thought that I have ever had was my individual responsibility to God. The most important thought, this man said, is my individual responsibility to God. You see, we have a responsibility to God. For example, to use your spiritual gifts in the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You have been uniquely gifted by God to perform a task in the church for the glory of God. And you can say, well, I'll let somebody else do that job, or I don't think I can do that job that well, better than so-and-so can do that job. But the fact is that you have been gifted in many different ways so that it fits you for that job. And if you don't do it and somebody else can do it, they may do it okay, but they can't do it like you could do it because God had you designed to do that. Do you have the responsibility to God to attend church? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. You say, well, I don't have anything to do at church this morning. It's okay if I don't show up. No. Even your very presence and joining in the singing, just being there, gives a dynamic that encourages other people. It's not so much so in a larger mega church, but if you're in a smaller church and you have one family that's gone, that's a big dent. That's a big dent in the church. And you can easily see the importance that everybody's there for the encouragement of the fellowship. To tithe unto God through the church is another responsibility that you have from God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And you have a responsibility to God to fulfill the Great Commission, to make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And the word there, the literal verb there is make disciples. Make disciples. In other words, having gone or going then, disciple all nations. It doesn't mean you just do it on a whatever night the church decides, but that means that when you go to your job, when you go to your ball game, when you do recreation, when you're with your friends, in the forethought of your mind, your responsibility is to make disciples, to tell them about Jesus and to disciple them. Dr. W.H. Griffith Thomas once interpreted responsibility this way. He said it's made up of two words, response and ability. Man's response, God's ability. God's got the ability. All we have to do is respond, and that's responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jones. I'm not aware of any announcements, but I'll give an opportunity if there might be. If not, you're dismissed. God bless. Have a great day.